Tim Z. Clark, author, journalist, and administrator of Independent Voters of Brown County, IN.com, right here from Brown County. He's one of our local watchdogs and helps us all stay aware of what Brown County government is up to. Tim, please.
Thanks, Jeff. Hey, I want to thank the organizers of the rally, Mike and Jeff, many volunteers. It's a great thing to put on to build that community. I love your speech, the first one at the first rally back in November, and we were just like 18 months into COVID. We all kind of know how that's evolved over the past year. It's not exactly safe and effective without some consequences. We're also into 9 months into the Biden administration. And they deliberately accelerated a lot of policies just to weaken and weaken the country. And with the idea that if we can destroy, we can build back better, which was a global theme by the World Economic Forum. And throughout history, there's always been those few that think if you can centralize power, you can develop your version of utopia, and that's just never worked out. And the hits since last year just keep coming on the Biden administration. Not only inflation, we still have people locked up, the so-called protesters that they claim had an insurrection in the Capitol. They're still locked up for misdemeanors. Just unbelievable. You know, you got deflation, energy, food, supply chains. And now we're into Ukraine, and then they throw out, you know, we could have a nuclear exchange like it's no big deal. Well, folks, it is a big deal. Whatever happens in there has an impact elsewhere. And in June of last year, the Biden administration issued a national strategy for combating domestic terrorism. And they started off, well, who is a domestic terrorism in the United States? Well, they identified at first white, violent, what do we call it, supremacist groups, like, who is that? And they ignored, you know, the riots in 2020 where it resulted in billions of dollars in property damage and deaths. And so they, when you looked at that national strategy, what's important is when any time a government has a strategy, there's resources go along with it. And so now you've weaponized Department of Justice and the FBI to kind of help support that policy. And then Biden delivers a speech in September. They call it the Soul of the Nation speech. And he had a backdrop that looked like he was delivering it from the gates of hell. And then he identified as a domestic terrorism, you know, the MAGA folks, and then it's quickly expanded to conservatives and expanded to Christians. So it's just something to watch. That's how you frame an enemy and divide people and provide targets. Before I get into the topic, I'm going to talk about God and Christianity, quality management, and then I'm going to talk about just briefly the county, what we can do at the county, and what we can do as citizens of the nation. And I want to give you just a little background to give you context for where I'm coming from and a lot of this stuff. I've always had a lifelong interest in the military, and my dad was a Korean War vet. He supported that interest, had all the guns, had all the army men. It just was an interest. And then when I got into high school, I went to ROTC, got out of high school, enlisted in the Army, spent 2 years, came out, went through college on the GI Bill, got a direct commission into the reserves, and served for 30 years, including 3.5 years after 9/11. And then, you know, I got selected to go to War College towards the end of my career, and even more information on what's going on. And I bring that up because I served two basic roles, as an infantry officer and as an intel officer. On the intel side, what we're trained to do is look at all-source intelligence analysis. That means all-source. That means you look at all the data. So if somebody's got a solution, you look to find the problem. And so you look historically, you look across many academic disciplines to come up with the problem set that matches with the solution. So all-source. So if you go out and look at independent voters in Brown County, when I go to government meetings, I share my notes. And if an important issue, and there's been several, I've got pages and pages and pages of supporting documentation to support the issue, to help explain to people, you know, what's all involved. And then on the federal side, I served in federal government, started with the IRS. I was real curious on that one. I think I collected tax returns from 1913 through the 70s. I just wanted to understand, you know, how that system worked. And I certainly understand the good and bad side and the power they can wield from the IRS. I guess my takeaway from that is we need to have a flat tax rate. We can eliminate that kind of problem. from the IRS. And so, and also, my dad not only nurtured my interest in the military, but he also was my spiritual advisor of faith. I went to Christian school for 8 years, went to Mass every day for six days a week. And you got the message. God sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ, that if you accept and believe, will grant eternal life. And so when you look at Jesus, you look at the Sermon on the Mount, kind of tells you what Jesus was a standard perfection. And if you read the New Testament, it kind of gives you plenty of examples of what that particularly means. And so as I transition to the next piece, is going to be God. And I'm going to talk about in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And what most people don't realize is God also created variation. And the variation principle is that everybody's different. No two things are exactly alike. And God's description of variation was that all your needs are met. And so when Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden fruit, they introduced sin or imperfection and variability. And so then God gave us a purpose, he gave us a plan, and he gave us talents and skills to help produce variation. And when I bring that variation thing up, I know it's new to people. Imagine you're at a time in history where everybody thinks the world's flat. And then all of a sudden somebody stands up and says, well, you know, it's not really flat. I've been around the world a few thousand times and can kind of prove to you. Some people may be interested, and some people may say, who is that nut up there and how long is he going to be? And so it's kind of a new concept. So when I introduce this, I hope to bring it in and encourage your interest to learn more. If you go out to Independent Voters, I've got a ton of information in all different levels of detail to help raise awareness of what that means. So God, if you look from a Christian perspective, advise to boil it down. God just say, hey, his standard is perfection. Perfection is everybody's needs are met. And his challenge to us is take action, motivated by love that results in outcomes where more needs are met, which means that there's fewer people that are being harmed by their needs aren't met. And so if you look at that powerful but simple statement, think about security. Let's say, we always have crime. If we work together to reduce crime by 10%, more people have their needs met. They're more secure. But as long as you have crime, there's people whose needs aren't being met. And so that establishes a moral authority or more premise for continuous improvement. And so that's kind of what the Bible's all about. Now we transition into quality when it comes to variation. Walter Schuart, back in 1924, developed an innovative approach for managing variation. And what he did is he identified two types of variation, what's common, what's not. And then what's predictable and what's not. It's pretty simple, but pretty powerful. And he identified, well, when do you change? When do you change? How do you know the change resulted in improvement? Another significant discovery. And so during World War II, funny enough, that principle was classified. We shared it with allies, but not in an open source form. And so that improved the quality of war materials and helped us win World War II. After the war, that was declassified, but it's still a relatively well-kept secret. And let me give you an example. Let's say you commute to work or school and you do it routinely. You're not going to get there exactly the same time every day, are you? I mean, it's going to vary by a few minutes, but you're going to be predictable. And so that's called a predictable system, a stable system. But yet, if you were late one time, 30 minutes, 40 minutes late, that may be unusual. That's called a special clause. So you might look at that and say, well, if that's a temporary thing, I'm not going to worry about it. I'll go back to my process. That's pretty much Schuart's breakthrough, and there's more statistics, but you really don't need to go there. But that's the general concept. W. Edwards Deming was a colleague of Schuart that taught the Japanese how to improve quality after World War II. Deming's contributions were recognized by Fortune magazine as among the 20 top business innovations in the history of the world. U.S. News and World Report identified that Deming's contributions were one of the 9 turning points in history. And Deming paralleled God's
advice. She's right next to a gas station.
She said improvement only has to do with producing variation from the ideal. Perfect, imperfect, work to make close that gap. And that was Deming's contribution.
Sorry, guys, I'm checking in and out.
He was a devout Christian, but he really never told anybody. But he supported a kind of a second approach to improvement. One of the companies that took that message to heart in Japan was Toyota. They went from 0 market share to number 1 in sales in the world And a few years ago, it was announced in the Detroit paper that Toyota made more money per car than the big three combined. And you would think that would have got headlines, like, how are they doing that? No follow-up. And when I say that that was classified and declassified after the war, it's relatively ignored in America, even by American businesses, although Shor's techniques are established worldwide in different manuals, if you're familiar with ISO 9000. But I mean, in America, we just didn't, it's relatively well-kept speaking. I think it's for a good reason, because it's powerful. If you understand variability, if you're buying a product or service and delivering it, the question not only employees can ask, but customers can ask is, what's perfect? How close are you meeting to perfect? And what are you doing to close that gap? Well, for product or service, if you want to know what kind of experience you're going to have with that product, wouldn't it be nice to know how long it's going to last, what your maintenance costs are going to be, what your repair history may be, what kind of service it may have, how perfect are they in servicing that product or service? And so if you think about that, if I'm top management, I really don't want my employees or my customers asking me those kind of questions. I don't want to share that kind of power. I'll tell them what the quality is, and they can like it or not, and tough, which is always fine, you know, if you're not in competition. And folks, if you remember back in the old days on cars, remember the 12-month, 12,000-mile warranties on cars and repair shops on every corner, built-in obsolescence and maintenance. Now it's like you can buy a car, 3 years, 36,000 miles. I bought two Toyotas, 200,000 miles, never went back to the shop. That meets my goal. Well, that's the variation piece. The third guy was a Japanese statistician who also validated God's guidance. Jinichi Taguchi, and they call it the two Taguchi laws. He's a statistician and engineer. But basically what he concluded by Shuart Deming's work, that the closer, and this is an international accepted fact, the closer any product or service gets to that ideal or perfect, the higher the quality, the better the results, and the lower the cost, not only to the individual, but to society at whole. Because more needs are being met, less harm on people's needs aren't met. And so that's undisputed. So when you look at that, God says, hey, reduce variation. Here's perfect, you're not. I gave you the tools, the plan, the talents to help reduce that. From the quality world, the customer defines quality, and from America's perspective, as citizens, we the people define quality, what's more perfect. And the aim for our system of government is being continually improved in pursuit of a more perfect union. And that was influenced by the Judeo-Christian principles. So as citizens, guess who top management is in America? You know, it's us. And do we ever ask, say, hey, what's a more perfect union look like? Where are we at now? And what's being done to close that gap? And oh, by the way, are those actions resulting in an improvement? See the power that we have as a people. When the founders developed that goal of the more perfect, they didn't have the methods and the tools that we have today. So think about variation as just reducing variation from that ideal. What's the gap? And are we making progress on it? That's what's new. That's what's secret. Combined with the Constitution, which is our last line of defense, the idea of applying the quality management principles and understanding that whole variation concept, which is kids get it real quick, adults, you know, maybe not so much because we got more baggage to work through, but a pretty simple process. Okay. Let me take to the county and the country and I'll wrap it up. Our country, again, was founded for us to work towards more perfect. Again, what does that mean and where are we at and are we making progress? And clearly, you know, we're not. If I was to describe our situation as a country, I'd say we're probably in the middle of the Cold Civil War. You know, it's like the Cold War in Russia. We weren't in direct conflict, but we did everything we could to destroy their country and to destroy the Soviet Union and turn them into Russia. And that's kind of what it feels like here. A lot of these policies are just making things worse, not better. And yes, let's vote in 2022 and 2024 and hope the new norm, you know, replaces that and we make that course correction. But systemically, from the military perspective, you know, don't think that's a real easy thing to do. And I mentioned during my speech last year, and it's even true today, we had 121 general flag officers made the conclusion on the state of our union, that, that we're probably the most perilous times for the survival of our republic than going back to 1776. And when you got 122 generals that had the kind of training that we all get on understanding of systems, that's pretty significant. And part of the interesting thing on the, my federal career as well as my military, in the federal side, I picked up on the quality and kind of went nuts after I learned about Denning. Wrote a book, taught at IU, continued ed for about 10 years, did seminars at the library, was involved in regional quality groups, and just worked with dozens of companies to help introduce the whole concept. And so, so when you look at it from my perspective as a civilian, I always learned how to build capability, but as a military officer, I always learned how to destroy capability. And so it gave you kind of a two ways to look at it. And frankly, I'd rather prevent a problem than I would have to fix it. On the county, I got involved back in 2016 and just wanted to learn more, share kind of what I learned a little bit more, talk to people. Started going to government meetings, and so then I write up my notes. I post it on Independent Voters, but I also post it on Brown County Matters, which is a Facebook group. We have about 2,300 members, and we have membership criteria and all that kind of stuff. But that's how I get the information out. If you go a little bit more detail, again, I've got plenty of data. Because for me, anytime somebody proposes a solution, our county habit is there's a solution without a problem. And so I always ask, you know, what's the problem? So we had an opportunity back in 2017 to apply for a state grant. We called it the Boomtown Collaborative Initiative. And, you know, I think the state kicked in 5,000, county sticks put in 5,000. We got about 30 people involved, 6 months, 9 months of training. We had the option of 3 projects, quality of life, economics, and leadership. It's almost unanimous. Everybody said leadership. And so one of our first pilot projects was something on local foods, build more resilience in a local food network here. Other counties were doing it. Got a bunch of people saying, hey, I've got this, let's do this. And then said, okay, had concerns of how they're about going to do it. But so we went ahead and did it, and it just kind of failed. Didn't have the resources, didn't have the training, didn't have the skills. And so it just kind of died. People got discouraged and dropped out, didn't go to meetings, but half the people stayed. We maintained a core. We shifted leadership. So what I did is I integrated a lot of the information I learned from county meetings. I pulled a lot of things off the quality shelf, you know, to get those tools. And we created a website. It's called the Brown County Leader Network. If you go to my website, there's a link to that. And we have just a website shares information. And we have a guide, a simple support guide for how you get started. Nothing to do, just pretty simple. So if you've got an issue that you want to solve or address, that's a good kind of starter guide. You know, operators stand by if you need help. But we kind of designed it so it'd be kind of self-help and just introduce a different way of fleshing out solutions and problems and seeing if they're going to work. Finally, on capability, one of the tools in the Department of Defense was how we assess systems. And they developed a model that's like a one to scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the best, and 1 being not so good. And the norm within America is a 2, which basically means it works, not broke. We like the status quo. And if I was assessed the county, we're a 2. If I was assessed the country, we're like a minus 10. And so if you have that kind of model, you go, well, if that's a 2, and then I could probably convince you, or we could talk and talk about that number, but if it's 2, as Americans, I mean, our goal is to shoot for 5. That's what that more perfect union looks like. So if we're at a 2 and want to get a 5, how do we do that? And again, that's where the tools and support and that leader network comes in. So that kind of wraps it up for me. Again, I just encourage you, learn about that variation thing. It's kind of fun. I've got a ton of information out there in all levels of detail. You know, like I said, it took me 7 years to write a book to help break it down even simpler so people would understand. And published a lot of different articles in different national websites and things like that. So there's a lot of information. And then apply it. The only way to get a recognition of that whole variation thing, just apply it to something. You know, take an issue and say, hey, what's the strengths of that? What's the weaknesses? Opportunities, solutions, and then what's the challenges? And then the opportunities lead to a solution, which leads to, okay, let's define that problem. It's that simple. You can do it on one page. We prototyped it in Jackson Township, and it's a couple pages. We just went through it. It's pretty simple. It just gives you a way of organizing your thoughts, organizing what you think about, putting the right things in the right places. So it's, like I said, it's, yeah, again, if there's areas for improvement there are, let me know. I'd be glad to improve it. So, again, challenging times for the country, challenging times for the county, and working together is how we get through these kinds of challenges. So I want to thank you for being here, and God bless America. Thank you.